Our first scripture reading comes from the first letter of Paul to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 1, 10 through 18. You'll find it in your pew Bible in the New Testament on page 155. Now, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The gospel lesson comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew, a familiar story. Matthew 4, verses 12 through 23, in your New Testament section of the Bible on page 3. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region of shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, having known you for a year and a half, I know that many people in our congregation are anglers, people who really enjoy fishing. So by a show of hands, how many of you are avid anglers? How many of you enjoy fishing? I'm surprised. I think we have some closet anglers out there. But I'm glad for all of you. Well, given our scripture reading from Matthew, it seems especially appropriate today that I tell you a fishing story. Not a fish story, mind you. I won't tell you about the one that got away, but rather a fishing story. And as you hear my story, try to listen to find if there might be some echoes from this gospel lesson from Matthew. At the end of last summer, one September morning, Zach and I got up really early and we drove out to Aurora Reservoir to go fishing. Well, between the two of us, we had two tackle boxes, five fishing rods, one fishing license for me, two extra rod stamps, and one box of night crawlers. We were eager and we were ready to go. Well, as it turned out, we were so eager that we got to the gate at Aurora Reservoir almost 30 minutes before the rangers would come out to open it up. And so we waited. When the gate was finally open, we drove around to the reservoir dam and hauled our gear up and over the dam to our favorite fishing spot. There was no one else there, so we stood in the darkness and enjoyed the solitude. With my old man eyes, I could hardly see the catch on my swivel to attach a lure, so I fumbled around a bit while Zach had already begun casting his line out into the dark water. We had arrived at our spot well before the sun had come up. It was a windy morning, and it felt cold for the light jackets and shorts that we had on. We cast our lines out into the darkness and shivered there on the sloping side of the dam. And some 40 minutes later, when the sun finally peeked up over the eastern horizon and began to shine on the Rockies, we saw the sun's light and soon felt the sun's warmth. It was a gorgeous sight, with the sun's rays streaming across the plains, dancing off the water of the lake, and then illuminating the western peaks in the distance. The gulls wheeled and called, and groups of Canada geese lifted off as they honked. Our stiff muscles relaxed, and our bodies warmed, and both Zach and I felt the call to fish in earnest, to really focus our attention on what we had come to do, to catch fish. But as I recall, we weren't overly successful that day. I think we might have caught one trout between us that day, but that was really okay. We were together, my son and I, in God's beautiful Colorado nature, fishing and enjoying the birth of a new day, and that was more than enough. Can you picture that? I bet you can. Well, I must admit that as the lectionary comes up to this reading from Matthew, I look forward to reading it and to sharing with you some ideas about this lesson, because obviously I love to fish. But it's more than that. This lesson is quite focused, and I believe that it has a message for each one of us here this morning, a message that ultimately goes well beyond the simple act of fishing. As I thought about this story during the week, I was also thinking about the other stories of Jesus calling people into service. We have relatively little in the Bible that speaks to us to how Jesus called the apostles. It would be wonderful if we had more in-depth descriptions of this calling out. And it would be great if we had individual biographies on each of those 12 original disciples. But we don't. And so we need to use our imagination and guess about these men based on the little information that we do have. When Jesus called Simon Peter and Andrew, and this is obviously a very different version of the story than what we read last week from John, we see that Jesus was interrupting their daily job of fishing. Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he watched as Peter and Andrew cast their net into the sea. "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And so they did. And the story goes that they dropped their net on the spot, and they simply walked away from their family. They walked away from their jobs and their friends and their home, and they followed Jesus to the end of his days. But you really need to think about what was going on before this happened. Jesus had already fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy about the Messiah moving into this region of Capernaum by the sea. Jesus had made his home in Galilee. And just as the prophet said, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. Think about the light and the warmth of the sun as Zach and I stood in the darkness by the lake in my story. Feel that light and that warmth. Jesus had arrived as the prophet said he would, and Jesus was proclaiming to all who would listen, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And this is what Peter and Andrew saw and heard and felt when Jesus called to them by the sea. And so they followed. But don't you believe that Jesus knew exactly what he was doing? That he knew exactly who he was calling to follow him, because he knew these men intimately and completely for who they were? Sometimes when we hear the story, we get the impression that Jesus was calling these men to blindly accept a brand new vocation, a calling that was completely different from anything they had done in their lives. But I don't believe that's true. Fishing takes discipline and perseverance and a deep understanding of the environment. Peter and Andrew got up early each and every day. They watched the weather and the water every day, and they knew the Sea of Galilee well. They fished day after day. Some days they had a good catch, and some days they came back empty-handed, but they kept at it every day. And if they caught something, they would sell that day's catch, but then they had more work to do. They had to constantly repair the nets and to keep their boats in good working order. It was a hard life, but it was also a satisfying life as well. And when you think about it, weren't these exactly the kind of guys that Jesus needed to help him accomplish his ministry? Weren't those skills of discipline and perseverance and a deep understanding of their environment, their context, weren't these exactly the set of skills that Jesus would need them to have? Well, I also believe that it works just exactly that same way today as Jesus calls each one of us to join him in his ministry. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Follow me, and I will make you fish for people. We are called to fish for people, to allow the Holy Spirit to make disciples of Jesus Christ. We are called to offer the bait of the gospel by sharing the good news that Jesus brings into our own lives. And we are called to use the net of God's grace, that unconditional love that only Jesus can offer. Fishing takes discipline, perseverance, and a deep understanding of our context. And so does the work that Jesus would call us to do, to make disciples of Jesus Christ and to transform the world through God's love. That takes discipline, perseverance, and a deep understanding of our context, the society and the cultures that surround us. Each of us needs to look for and to find ways of sharing God's love in real and tangible ways as we model the love of Jesus in our lives. It's hard work, but it's also satisfying work. And we don't fish alone. We always have each other. And we always have the Holy Spirit. And the reward is immeasurable. Eternal life right here and right now. But when you think about your calling, be very clear about one thing. Jesus does not call each of us into the same field of ministry. Jesus does not call us into an uncomfortable or an unfamiliar position. Jesus asks us to use our gifts to their best advantage. Jesus asks us to integrate our ministry into our lives, taking up the unique calling that best utilizes who we are and what we do best, just as he called Peter and Andrew. And so, we are not really dropping the nets. We're simply using those nets in a brand new way. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Follow me, and I will make you fish for people. Amen.